You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Well, what I wanted to do for a couple of minutes to start is I wanted to kind of go through a little bit of what we've learned this past year. Now, this past year, we have had a big focus on what it means to be disciples of Jesus Christ, what it means to follow, or in some cases, we've talked about what does it mean to look at other people who follow, because sometimes we don't really follow, we just are more watchers. This year, we've talked a lot about what it means to be a disciple, what it looks like in our daily life, and if you remember, we began with this idea of family. How are we making disciples in our family? How are we modeling the life of Jesus Christ to our spouse, to our parents? Yes, our parents. You know, how are we modeling the life of Jesus to our coworkers, to those people in our schools? We are always modeling something to someone. What life are you modeling to other people? We also looked, if you remember, at the Sermon on the Mount. We spent some time on this. We spent several months and what it means to live these powerful words. We spent close to 3 months on it because it's that important. Matthew 5 through 7, we have some of the most, I would say, challenging and difficult words straight out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. This is where we find what it means, the heart of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, how he wants us to live. And then after that, if you remember, we looked at what fires us up. What does it mean to live with passion? Are we passionate about the things of God, about the things that Jesus talks about in Matthew 5 through 7? We talked about how do we realign our passions with God's passions? You know, how can we use those things that fire us up, those things that really, things that we're passionate about, how do we use those to expand the kingdom of God? When we live this life that's fully devoted to God, then what we find is that it leads to one thing, and that is freedom. If you remember this whole idea of freedom, whenever we figure out what our passions are, God makes more sense to us. Other things, they lose their hold over us. We find ourselves being controlled not by the world, but by God. Now remember, in Galatians 5, Paul says, it is for freedom that God and Christ has set us free. You know, the life that Jesus tells us about in the Sermon on the Mount, it leads to freedom. But we know that's not easy. And that if you remember, this life requires focus. And focus requires that we recognize those moments when we are distracted. Remember that? Squirrel. Those moments, those things that get us off of focusing on the things we should be focusing on. Because when we're distracted, we aren't living up to our full potential in Jesus Christ. You know, we aren't able to live or even experience that abundant life that Jesus talks to us about, that he's offered us, that he's set aside for us. Distraction, it becomes our life if we're not careful. If we move from one thing to the other without fully focusing on anything. And if we don't focus on anything specifically, how do we really understand anything fully? What it does, if you remember, distraction, it tears us apart, both spiritually and emotionally. So God set aside people to help us. What we find, though, is that in order for this ragtag group of redeemed and saved people to really stay focused, we have to help each other. But in order for us to receive that help, and to give that help, there has to be trust. We need to trust each other, even if we may not like each other or agree with each other necessarily. We're all striving for the same goal, and when we trust each other, we begin to discover our place together in the kingdom of God. When we trust, we begin to see leaders rise up and lead. You know, God has given us leaders who've accepted this task of leading, this burden, this responsibility. And as they bear the burden of shepherding the congregation, our responsibility is to trust them, trust what the Spirit is doing in them, to encourage them, to lift them up, to pray for their success. When we trust, we lift our leaders up. But without trust, we tear them down. And after all, our shepherds, our elders, our leaders, they're doing the very best to model the life of Jesus Christ as well. As well. And if you remember that moment when we had Barefoot Sunday, you remember that? When we had hundreds and hundreds of pairs of shoes that were donated on that Sunday, we trusted that God was going to do something with our offering. You know, people walking up, giving their shoes, and walking back barefoot. How great was that? This was inspired and led by the best of us, by the leaders in this congregation. So through this trust, through this idea of raising up leaders in our congregation, we are able to appoint leaders, spiritually, scripturally, men who are going to do what's best for this congregation, because it requires a higher level of commitment, presence, attention. And if and when these leaders struggle without themselves, our job is to lift them up, to encourage and to be thankful for what God's given us. Because if you remember, thankfulness is vital to the heart of a Christian. Because if we're not living lives of gratitude, then we're not living the life of Jesus. It's just that simple. If we're not living the life of Jesus, then how can we be disciples? If we're not disciples, we're not following. But we're thankful, though. We're thankful because we welcome the Spirit here. We've seen Him work. We welcome new leaders this year. We've seen them. We've been able to install some new elders in our congregation. You know, we know that there is expectation in the midst of the Spirit working inside of a congregation. We've seen it. We've experienced that. You know, what we can know for sure is that when we're living the life of a disciple, a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, then we know that there's more to come. We know that God is making things right. We know we can expect more from God. We know that He wants to give us more. And we know that this hope, the hope that has been talked about already today, can be expected, especially at the beginning of a new year. There is inherent hope here. You know, we have hope that we're not just following a path to nowhere. We have hope that God is leading us home. An entire year's worth of ideas into just a few minutes. But 2016 is gone, and we've heard what it means to follow, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to continually have to ask ourselves, are we following? Are we really disciples? But today I want to assume that we are, that we've all decided. We sang the song, I surrender all. You know, let's say that we've all decided to follow Jesus. Let's say that we've decided, we know where to begin, now what? So I'm going to begin 2017, not with some resolutions, but I'm going to begin with a challenge to you. It's more of a challenge to myself, but I'm just going to let you in on my personal conversation. I'm not going to make it too big. I'm going to challenge you to do one thing. Be fully present. Be fully present. Now that means don't live in the past. That means don't live in the future. That means for this next year, I want you to do your best to live in the present. Now, I'm not saying don't reflect. Reflection is important. We have to ask ourselves, what's worked in the past? You know, what are the successes we've had? What are the failures that we've experienced? Reflection is a practice that's going to help us grow. It's going to help us learn. But reflection is simply that. It's just reflection. Looking back momentarily at what used to be in order to help us focus more on what is right now. Not at the expense of the present, but focusing on what is. And I think it really is all about balance. When we're unbalanced, when we live anywhere but the present, it's impossible for us to follow. You know, following requires an attention on what is in front of us right here. If we're too focused on the on this past, we're going to stop. We're going to not move. If we're too focused on the future, we're probably going to get ahead of God. We're going to just kind of lose our way, get a little lost. We begin to make decisions based on what might happen, and a lot of times that's based on anxiety and fear, nervousness. Jesus says, as Davis said in Matthew 6:34, he said very specifically, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough problems of its own. What does it look like to be fully present? So today, as we approach a new year, new possibilities, new challenges, new opportunities, I want to just challenge you to pay attention. You know, there are some things that will keep us from being fully present, things that will keep us and our attention directed elsewhere. So turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. We're going to be in Luke chapter 9 at the very end of that for a moment. Fully present, it's always been an issue with humanity. People paying attention to where they are, it's always been an issue. It's been an issue with me specifically. Even as Jesus was calling his disciples, there were those who had difficulty really fully engaging. So Jesus had just set out for Jerusalem in Luke chapter 9. He was ready. He was going. We talked about that this past year. And some were having difficulty following him through to the end. And I think we'll find some common reasons why this is difficult. So let's start reading in verse 57. It's going to all be up here on the screen. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. This is an interesting little section to end out Luke chapter 9. Now, Luke chapter 9 is a fantastic, packed chapter. We have the sending out of the disciples two by two. We have miracles, things like that happening. We have the feeding of the 5,000. We have the transfiguration. I mean, we have lots of miraculous events here happening. And then we have, at the very end, three people who kind of come late to the party. Jesus is already going to Jerusalem. A lot of his ministry has already happened. Now the first comes up, he says, Jesus, I'm ready to go. And Jesus' response at first, it's a little odd. I'm ready to go, Jesus. Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I think one thing that keeps us from fully paying attention to where we are is this consistent desire for comfort. I think he's telling this person that following Jesus is not based on a comfortable life. So many times I spend my time looking at how comfortable things used to be. Or looking forward to how comfortable it could be, or I want it to be. And I either spend all my time in the past or spend all my time in the future without really paying attention to the uncomfortable present. There's much to be learned when we have to focus on the road beneath us, the rocks, the dust, one step after the other step. You know, a few weeks ago, I had a woodworking incident and I may have cracked a rib. It's not a big deal, other than it's a consistent reminder that I'm uncomfortable. And what I'm finding is that I think Joel said this to me on a text, you know, he said, Scott, I'm just praying that God teaches you something through this moment. I'm like, thanks for the empathy, buddy. But I'm thinking he's right. I think in those moments of discomfort, God has a lot to teach us. So if our consistent focus is to try to be comfortable, then I think we're kind of saying, God, I got this. I'll teach myself, thank you. And I'd really rather learn in the air conditioning. But I think if we focus maybe on that one uncomfortable moment, just pay attention to it. What could God teach us through that? You know, maybe a relationship isn't as comfortable as it used to be. Maybe my marriage isn't as comfortable as it used to be. Maybe my family. How about instead of finding ways to get out of the discomfort, maybe we take a moment to focus on it and maybe ask God, why am I uncomfortable here? Instead of trying so hard to dismiss it, let's let God teach us through it. So instead of searching for a way out, let's just look at the way in to that. You know, Jesus said very clearly, discomfort is a part of my life. But the whole time we need to remember God was with Jesus through his discomfort. And how much did Jesus learn and know? So ask yourself, what could God teach you through this momentary discomfort? Now the next two people talk about their families, and it's kind of an interesting thing. Let me bury my father. Let me say goodbye to my family. I mean, after all, Elisha in the Old Testament, he said goodbye to his family. So there's nothing wrong with any of that. There's nothing wrong with funerals. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think for these men, maybe, these people, maybe those were going to be a distraction. Maybe they would keep these people from living where they were in the moment. I think there's some moments whenever we so get focused on certain parts of our life that we find ourselves living in the past and then not even paying attention to where we are. Sometimes we have a past that's just filled with unmet expectations. Maybe broken relationships, reminders that we're not in control. Maybe we find ourselves tending to what used to be so much that before we realize it, we've lost our way. We aren't even sure where we are anymore. We don't know where we're going. We've lost focus on the here and now. It's not deliberate. I think we simply get caught up. And this is why it's so important to have the body of Christ around us, to be connected. That's why it's important to be here. That's why it's important to keep up with each other, even though it's Monday through Saturday. Because we need each other. And we kind of serve as a consistent reminder that there is work and there are things that need to be taken care of here and now. That's why the body of Christ is so important. Here and now. You know, James focuses on this in James chapter 4, and he tells us something that we need to be reminded of. It's not a really uplifting verse, but this is what it says. Listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. People have had this problem for so long. And this week I hear this quote and it stopped me. And it said this, the trouble is, you think you have time. Now for those of us who think we have time, for me, I find myself spending that time on things that don't really matter. The past, the future, while ignoring the one thing that does matter, and that is where I am right here and right now. So this is my challenge to you. Begin today to decide to live with purpose and be fully present, which means that we start by focusing where we are. This is very simple stuff. Focus where we are. If we come into this room on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday night, on a Wednesday night, I want you to be here in this room on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. Be here. A lot of times we start thinking about that or that, where we are. We look at someone, oh no, I'm uncomfortable with them. Oh, and we relive all that again. What about focusing on the here and now? Instead of looking at people how you want them to be or how you wished it would be, look at people in the eyes for who they are. Just live right here, right now. Focus on the Word of God and on the body of Christ. Just Sunday morning, this is a home run for you. Just when you come in on a Sunday, be here, right now. Here you go, second one. This is for me. Put your phone away. This is simple stuff. Put your phone away. The phone was made for man, not man for the phone. That sounds like something in Scripture, doesn't it? If we're with our family and our friends, and we are more concerned with the phone than we are with our family and friends, then we have a problem. We're not living in the here and now. We're living in the text world or the Facebook world or the Instagram world or the Vine world or the Snapchat world. If we're not here and now, we're missing it. So whenever you're on a date, whenever you're with your spouse, whenever you're with your family, put your phone up. Just drop it off. Maybe take one as a family. Whatever you have to do to be fully present right here and right now, because what happens is that God wants to teach us in the here and now. And if we're not paying attention, we might miss it. Another one, don't make comfort our top priority. This is for me. Instead, let's follow the way of Jesus, no matter how uncomfortable it might be. And I will tell you, it will be uncomfortable because people are uncomfortable. So instead of thinking as people as a distraction, be fully present and think of all those moments when people interrupt you as a kingdom appointment. Just think of it as a kingdom appointment. Just write that in. If someone annoys you or distracts you, think, well, apparently this is a kingdom appointment. God has made this appointment for me. I need to make it, and I need to keep it, and I need to pay attention to it. Instead of, like I do sometimes, try to get out of it. I think what happens is when we begin to make God a priority in our life, in the here and now, then we're going to receive resistance. It's going to become a little bit uncomfortable. Count on it. But I think what you'll find is that there are things God wants to show us, and he can't show you in the future, and he's hard to show for him in the past. He wants to show you here and now. And I think you'll find that God can use you in the here and now to resolve your past, to shape your future, and to impact your present. So my challenge, fix your eyes on Jesus. Be fully present because Jesus is the present. Jesus is the present. He's the past. He's the future. It says it in Hebrews chapter 13, doesn't it? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our past, present, and future. So live in the moment. And as he told that one man who said, let me go bury my father, he didn't just say, let the dead bury their dead. He says, you go proclaim the kingdom of God. Don't focus on who you were. Don't focus on who you could be. Focus on who you are and let God do the work through you being fully present. And for you, proclaim the kingdom of God. Proclaim the kingdom of God. Focus on who you are and let God shape your past, present, and future. So this is my challenge. Begin here and now. Be fully present. And why not begin by deciding for yourself who you're going to do, who you're going to be, and how you're going to be right now. Let's all stand together. We have water for a brand new start. If you need salvation, I am here. I'm going to say if you need to confess some things, if you want to have a brand new start, I'm right here. Confess and let's start over. It's okay. No judgment here. My encouragement to you is don't say I'll do it tomorrow. Don't say I'll do that later. I want you to decide something now because we're all deciding and we're all responding. How are you going to respond today? Because God wants to do something in your present that will shape the future of the whole world. Will you let him?
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.